Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. 1 hour to go for us here on Morning Drive. We will not be making predictions because we are out of the predictions business, and Derek Mason has said that we are not going to make predictions. So we're not going to do that. We'll tell you what we think may or may not happen in the game coming up a little bit later on. Mostly the message for fans out there is to enjoy the ride, because come 5 o'clock, one fan base is going to be ecstatic and the other fan base is going to be totally dejected. That's why they play the games. Adam Teicher from ESPN covering the Kansas City Chiefs. Adam, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Sure. And there's a lot of stuff to get to here. Namely for me, the weather. How big of an impact? What is the weather like right now? I've heard we're seeing reports out of, you know, about the airport and everything. What does the weather look like, and how does that impact either team?
Yeah, well, it's icing right now, and my understanding was the airport was closed. But it's two days before game time. You know, the only thing maybe you wonder a little bit about the Chiefs is, can all the players get here today? You know, I'm assuming they're all here. I'll know more on that a little bit later. But maybe their preparations could be affected. But this stuff is supposed to be out of here by, I don't know, I guess tonight, and tomorrow the sun's supposed to come out. And so the field is covered. I'm looking at the playing field right now at Arrowhead, and it's covered. So everything should be okay by game time. So I don't think this weather, assuming the Titans are traveling tomorrow, I don't think this weather is going to affect much at all, really.
What about the first matchup, and how much has the coaching staff and the Kansas City players talked about the first matchup and what they learned, if anything at all, from the loss here in Nashville, where Mahomes put up a bunch of numbers? They got stopped inside the 40 too many times, obviously, for the Chiefs' liking. But what is it that the coaching staff or the players have said that they learned from that experience that they're going to use on Sunday?
A whole bunch of stuff. You know, you're right. The Chiefs kicked 4 field goals that day. The red zone offense was not very good. And, any one of those trips turning a field goal into a touchdown would have won the game for them, right? They lost by 4 or lost by 3. So any one of those drives would have won the game for them. You know, the last 5 minutes of the game was such a disaster for the Chiefs. They did just about everything wrong in the last 5 minutes. So, they're having to relive that this week and learn from that. You know, the biggest thing is what you guys already know. It's Derrick Henry. I mean, the Chiefs just were, talking to him. I remember after the game that day, we're sort of, I don't want to say shell-shocked, but just kind of maybe a little bit in awe of what he was like in the second half that day. And, talking to him this week, I think there's still a little bit of that, you know. And you don't hear NFL players kind of talk about other NFL players necessarily they're going to play with that way. But, you just wonder how the Chiefs are going to fare against Henry this time around. The Chiefs really, starting with the game following that game against the Titans a few weeks ago, really turned their season around. I mean, they haven't lost since, 7 in a row, counting last week's playoff game. And the biggest difference has been the play of their defense. I mean, they've really turned things around defensively. And, they played consistently well for 7 straight games. But you wonder, how they're going to fare this time against the Titans and Henry. Are they going to let him control the game? And is it going to be one of those kind of deals again? So we'll see. But, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs handle this, for sure.
Now, obviously, the big elephant in the room besides Derrick Henry, I think, is Andy Reid's record in the postseason, in particular his record against the Tennessee Titans, whether he's been a Philadelphia Eagle or now a Kansas City Chiefs head coach. It just hasn't gone well for Andy. And I'm not one of these guys that's going to say, well, Andy choked, because I think Andy calls the plays that he calls no matter what. You got to go out there and you got to execute the plays. Has that been a big talking point for people around Kansas City?
No, sure. And some of it is indefensible. This wasn't an AFC championship game. It was a wild card round game. But his first year with the Chiefs, they blew a 28-point lead in the third quarter. They led the Colts by 28 points in the third quarter and ended up losing. A couple of years ago, you guys remember that playoff game out here against the Titans where the Chiefs led 21-3 at halftime and ended up losing. So, they got to find a way to finish games. You know, there's some of these things have been a little bit out of his control. Last year, they came up with a big play at the end of the game, at the end of the fourth quarter, where they came up with an interception against Brady, and it looked like they had sealed the deal, and one of the Chiefs players lined up offsides and nullified the play, and New England went on to score, and of course, win in overtime. So some of those things are a little bit out of his control. You know, I'll say this, at least for his time with the Chiefs. I obviously wasn't there day-to-day for his time with the Eagles, but I'll say this. This is the most complete team he's had since he's been with the Chiefs. And last year's team was maybe even better offensively, but we know their weaknesses on defense. But this year's team is more of a complete team. You know, whether that means he's going to the Super Bowl for the second time in his career, I can't tell you that right now, but I think it gives him a pretty good chance.
Now, I had the opportunity some years ago to play in Kansas City in a playoff game when I was with Baltimore. And that place, Arrowhead, is like no other place. Not only is it loud in the regular season, but it amplifies in a playoff. Just explain to, because we have some people, obviously from the station, but then Titan fans that are going to make the trek down to, well, up to Kansas City. Just give us a insight of how that stadium is, and particularly during the playoffs.
Yeah, it was loud last week. I got to tell you, it was really rocking. Although it wasn't so loud when it was 24-0, you know. But as the Chiefs got rolling, this place got loud, and it really never shut up. So it can be a difficult place for opposing teams to play. You know, having said that, though, you know, I can make you a case that under Reed, you know, maybe the record hasn't quite matched up with this, but the Chiefs have been almost a better team on the road than they have at home. They're remarkably efficient on the road. I think the Texans game, as I recall, was the only one they lost, or the Titans game was the only one they lost all season on the road. They actually were 5-3 at home and 7-1 on the road. I can't explain that. I don't know why that is, but you know, teams have had success coming into Arrowhead and playing against the Chiefs, maybe more so than on the road. So, you know, it can be a factor, but, you know, the Titans have played in difficult situations before, so I don't think it'll be a huge impact on the game.
Adam Teicher joining us here from ESPN covering the Kansas City Chiefs. The status of Chris Jones, do you have any guess as to what he's going to look like? And can this team on defense, along the line of scrimmage, can they be physical on that side of the ball?
You know, all it'd be right now would be a guess about Jones, and I would guess that no, he would not play on Sunday. But who knows? We still have a couple of days, so things could change there. I do know that they worked him out on the field about a couple hours before the start of the Houston game last week, in front of coaches and trainers, just to get a look, and the workout didn't last very long. It was obvious he was nowhere close to being ready to play, so we'll see what a week did for him. But right now, if I had to make a guess, I'd say he's not going to play. You know, the Chiefs have had some guys step up and play pretty well, particularly against the run without him. They picked up a sort of a journeyman guy by the name of Mike Pennell early in the season. He's really played well for them against the run. They have a rookie named Colin Sanders, who third-round draft pick, who has had some nice plays against the run. I think it's more the concern about Chris Jones, maybe less if he doesn't play in this game, would maybe be more as a pass rusher than as a run defender. You know, the Chiefs did a nice job in getting after Deshaun Watson without him last week. You know, they sacked him 5 times, and Frank Clark had a big game with 3 sacks. But that's where the Chiefs would really like to have Chris Jones. And I think if he does play, my sense is that maybe he would be a situational guy, just sort of come in maybe on passing downs. But no one's told me that. That's just sort of a sense I have.
Adam, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much for the insight.
Hey, anytime, guys.
Absolutely. Adam Teicher there from ESPN, covering the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN Nation, of course, and Teron Davenport's counterpart. You can follow Teron, of course. He's got all kinds of really good stuff up on ESPN.com right now. Of course, he'll also be all over the airwaves here on 102.5 The Game tonight. I believe, 6 to 8 with Chase tonight. And then, of course, Sunday morning, he'll be a big part of our pregame coverage as well. As Jared and the GM got a couple hours. Me and Chris Sanders got a couple hours. We got lots of stuff for you guys on Sunday. However, I do want to discuss one final time the difference nationally between Kansas City and Tennessee, and why there's clearly rooting interest for a lot of people. But I don't know if it's going to matter. I don't know if it's going to matter. I'll explain when we get back right here, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. as the Preds Insiders, Slapshot Radio, and Penalty Box Radio broadcast live at Cherokee Steakhouse at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon. Come by for a full night of Preds talk, great food and drinks, along with a chance to win some Preds prizes. We also have a couple prizes we'll give away coming up in just a few minutes. Tyler Dunn with a really good story on Bleacher Report. He's a feature writer for them. Had some really good quotes from Kenny Vaccaro after the win and throughout this week. And this is going to feed into what we're about to talk about, Derek, which is that everyone in the world is rooting, as far as business people, mm-hmm. power brokers, those in charge, is rooting against the Titans this weekend. And it's not a knock on the Titans. It just is reality that if you are the broadcast network of the Super Bowl, you want Patrick Mahomes in that offense in the Super Bowl. If you're the NFL, you want Patrick Mahomes and that offense in the Super Bowl. If you're a fan that's a casual fan that's around the world that doesn't really care about Kansas City or Tennessee, you'd probably rather watch, at least on the surface, or maybe you should think that you should want to watch Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And one of the quotes in this story, again, go check it out. I've retweeted it there. First of all, his first tweet was about, his first quote is about some internet stuff he saw. And I don't know if you guys saw the dragon meme with the three dragons that look real mean and snarly, and it's like Niners, Packers, Chiefs, and then like the goofy looking dragon that has the Tennessee Titans logo on it. Mm-hmm. And he says, "It's all the sexy teams and our dumbass in the corner." And he's making fun of the meme itself, and he's able to laugh at it. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to talk about the TV ratings. He's like, "Everybody wanted Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, but nobody talked about every day us showing up at 5 a.m. Nobody talks about how they have to play us." Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just, it's Kenny's always great for a good quote, and mm-hmm. he's a really interesting cat, and I think obviously a very good player. Also one of the most amazing stories on this team, that they just found him in training camp, you know, off the free agent waiver wire, mm-hmm. brought him in, and he's been as big a contributor as he's been. But he's right. I mean, the nation writ large and the business power brokers, they don't want Tennessee to win this game on Sunday. It's not even close. I don't know if it matters if there's a good Super Bowl, right? Like, mm-hmm. if they play a good game in the Super Bowl, the ratings will be great. But because good games always trump everything else. But 2 weeks of hype for Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers? Are you kidding me? That will be what the NFL is rooting for and what Fox is rooting for.
I mean, they want the most appealing matchup, the one that will get people, you know, from a national standpoint to talk. And to me, it would be Kansas City, Green Bay, because you're taking it back to the very first Super Bowl in the NFL, Kansas City and the Green Bay Packers. So now 50-some years later, 52 years later, you would have that rematch of the Kansas City Chiefs and Green Bay Packers. I think that's more so now that they start looking at it. I mean, that's an angle they can, you know, they can exploit, I mean, to no end. And so Kenny Vaccaro is right from that standpoint. But I think all four of these teams, they've put in the work. They've been there at 5 right. o'clock. They've been trying to do the things necessary to win ball games, and you know, if you don't want that matchup, then you go out and beat them. You know, so it's not about what they want; it's about, you know, you going out there and putting yourself in a position to get what you want, and what you want is for the Tennessee Titans to win. So, and then Kansas City, on the other hand, what they want, they couldn't care less. If Green Bay or San Francisco makes it, they want to put themselves in the Super Bowl. So at least they can, you know, once you're in it, you have an opportunity to win. But if you ain't in it, there's no way you can win.
And it's funny, in this story, again, on Bleacher Report, I've tweeted it out at Braden Gall. Tyler Dunn did a good job writing it. Great quotes from Kenny Vaccaro. I think it's a great insight mm-hmm. as to where their mentality is right now. And it's interesting because he talks openly about how he's not motivated by the quote-unquote disrespect. He doesn't want to play the disrespect card because, like you're saying, everybody's a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. All these teams are filled with great professionals that work their butt off. But you can't help but, as you read the quotes, feel the disrespect. And so even if you talk openly about, hey, that's not the way we're going to motivate ourselves, that's not what's important, we're going out there to play our game, I still think it helps you. I still think it helps you that you're a 10-point underdog, that you're a 7-point underdog, that no one wants to see you play. All those things I just said, which, again, I am the indie rock artsy film guy, to quote a radio host, that wants to – that I love watching play action football and Derrick Henry run the football. I love that style. So I find it to be attractive. Not everybody finds it to be attractive. The difference is the Titans are actually making big plays. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone around the country realizes that while they are handing the ball off 30, 35 times – and they do operate with a play-action pass game, and Tannehill hasn't thrown for 100 yards, they still want to. They still have made big plays and have scored quickly in this offense since Ryan Tannehill took over. And I don't think anyone around the country really truly realizes that yet, is that the styles really aren't that different.
No, they're not. They're just doing it in different ways. You know, Tennessee, they want to run football, but they feel that if they need to pass, they can pass. Kansas City want to throw the ball, but I know Kansas City with Damian Williams and their other running backs feel that if we want to run the football, need to run the football, that we can do just that. The disrespect card, I mean, players, them using it now, I don't see any benefit of them using it now, because – the Tennessee Titans, they're not the ones that disrespecting Kansas City, and Kansas City is not the ones that disrespecting the Tennessee Titans.
No, it's like the world out there.
The people that are picking Kansas City, and I don't even think it's really a disrespect. They're just looking at it and saying, man, it's hard. I mean, because it's a quarterback-driven league, and it's like, man, Mahomes is on another level, and he's been that way since he's taken over at Kansas City. And, man, if I had to pick – it's going to be a tough game, but I'm picking Kansas City because I trust in Mahomes. I trust in the quarterback. Right. So I don't even think it's a disrespect. I just think people are looking at it from a quarterback standpoint, right, and saying, well, I take the high-powered quarterback over the high-powered running back.
Well, and some of it's the media, right? Like the national media is like, hey, like, is this team getting disrespected? Well, the NFL wants the Chiefs. And you know, there's no question the broadcast partners would rather have the Chiefs than the Titans. Now, I think – 2 weeks of hype for the Titans, does it build up the ratings? Does the casual fan turn in? Probably not. But again, what cancels all of that style of play, what cancels, you know, brand, what gets rid of all that is when the game's happening, if it's close. If it's a close game, that will draw people in no matter what. It doesn't matter. If the Titans are playing Green Bay or San Francisco and they're playing a close game in the third and fourth quarter in the second half of the Super Bowl, you best believe people are tuned into that game. It does not matter what style you run or what offense you run or who's the star or whatever.
Like, say, for instance, if this was the Cincinnati Bengals and the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game, the marketing people would want the Titans because Cincinnati ain't bringing nobody. Nobody's worried about it. So it all depends. It's not necessarily that they think – They're not thinking about what's on the field. They're not thinking about
right.
it. They just think
they're
about
thinking
how
about
can
all
they
the
make
extra
yeah, how
yeah.
can I make
yeah.
more money? So it's not a disrespect to the team.
Right.
It's just saying, well, this other team is going to bring more money than you.
Right.
Ultimately in the Super Bowl. So it has nothing to do with who you are as a team per se. Your personnel is just
right.
based on the name.
But I also understand not actively using it as motivation, but having it, you can't help but not have it in the back of your mind. Like, you can't help but if your job is to entertain people and people are like, no, we don't want you to entertain us. Because that's essentially what's happening, right? It's like you as football players are entertainers. And maybe you don't look at it that way. Maybe you look at it more as you know, we're brothers and we're going into battle and our job is to win a championship. But it is entertainment, whether you like it or not.
No, it
sports
is
entertainment. And when people tell you that your product isn't as entertaining or your brand or your team or your product or whoever you are isn't as entertaining – I'm sorry, there's a human element that clicks in that says, well, we're going to go prove them wrong.
Well, see, the Titans were the talk of the town when they beat the big dogs and the Patriots because no one wanted to see the Patriots go. And so, obviously, then they're the talk.
Right.
And then they followed that up by role reversing, by beating the team that everybody wanted to watch in that position. So then now they're just like, oh, come on, man. Now we're stuck with the Titans now. Well, like it was cool when they beat the Patriots,
right.
but it wasn't cool when they beat the Ravens.
Right. And Kenny Vaccaro addressed that in the story. He's like, everybody wanted Lamar versus Mahomes, and we screwed up y'all's TV ratings. mean, that's what he says in the story.
And what's funny, we get a tweet from Steve, and he says Chiefs and Packers would be free advertising for State Farm. Because you do know
Patrick right.
Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in that
two
State
agents.
Farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got two agents.
Yeah.
No, I've seen enough of that ad. I know that it's out there, that's for sure. So anyway, it's an interesting read. It's a good story on Bleacher Report. Go check it out. I think it's interesting insight into the mindset of this locker room, which again, the Tennessee Titans locker room is extraordinarily confident. They're playing as well as any team in the NFL. They're playing together. The culture, whatever word you want to use, has been built from the ground up, and it's been building for years, and it's culminated with this opportunity. And if you can make a couple more plays, and you know, Tannehill makes a couple of big throws, Derrick Henry continues to do what he does, I think the defensive line can win the battle and get to Mahomes. If you can do those things, you're going to be in the stinking Super Bowl. It's unbelievable. You're one game away, and I think this team is confident enough that they could do it. We will not make predictions while trying to make some predictions when we come back, because Derek Mason told us we couldn't make predictions this morning. So we're going to make some like pseudo fake predictions maybe when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, where's Freddie Prinze Jr. when you need him? This song is if you took Freddie Prinze Jr. and turned him into a song, this is what it would sound like.
Who's the main girl?
She's All That, I think, was the movie
that
he was in.
Who's the main girl that's always in the teen movies? Is it like
Sarah Jessica Parker? No.
She's
a little
Sex in the City.
Yeah, Sex in the City. What's her name?
Nev Campbell was the main character in all the Screams, right?
All the Screams, Nev Campbell. But no, she's done a few the other one's name that was in Sharknado? It was all
is that Tara Reid?
Yeah, Tara Reid was always in a lot of the teen movies.
She's trended downward.
Yeah,
she was always like
she peaked at Big Lebowski.
She's probably the girlfriend of the football player. Yeah. That kind of
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes,
that's Buffy.
Who it
was that Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes, that's who it was.
Dude, you guys are in my wheelhouse now. We're talking '90s teen stars. I'm in. You're in my wheelhouse now.
Man, Amanda Bynes. I don't know.
That was later. That was a little later. See, and that's the thing. Every time you're right though, I hear that song.
I used to watch our show.
I did too.
Yeah,
sure.
You gonna give something away, dude?
Yeah, I want to give something away.
We played that Freddie Prinze Jr. song for a reason.
Absolutely, you
He's
can win a pair of Matchbox 20 tickets, a pair of them, at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, August the 5th. So you got time to figure out who you gonna take if you win these tickets or when you win these tickets. All right, caller number 3.
There you go.
Caller number 3. Munson was back there worried. Caller number 3. If you make this call and you
and
are the person.
I had to fist up like this, but that didn't mean fist bump.
If you are the caller, then you win a pair of tickets to see Matchbox 20, August 5th. Here's the number, 615-737-1025.
So, we're not making predictions. Uh-huh. We're not going to give scores. And frankly, to be honest, the way I feel this game's going to go, I don't think Titans fans want me to say what I think's going to happen out loud. Like, I don't want to speak it and then all of a sudden be part of the problem. I don't want to be part of the karma. You know what I mean? Like, I want to stay out. I want to be an objective observer. Here's a couple of questions I have for you, though, Derek. Mm-hmm. Will Derrick Henry get to 125 yards rushing?
Of course. So he's going to walk into the stadium and you have 125 yards.
What is the number that is... That creates a win. I mean, I think it's probably pretty high. I think it's 175, where you can say, I guarantee you the Titans win if Derrick Henry gets to this number. They're 17-2 when he gets at least 18 carries in his career. And when he gets over 100 yards, basically the same kind of record.
If he gets over 100 and... if he gets over 160, they win.
160.
Mm-hmm. He gets 160 if they win.
Is he over 160?
I don't know.
You said he walks into the building over 125.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think he gets. Because then, no, but I'm not saying. I don't know. Because then it gets
my prediction. Yeah, then you're making predictions.
Gives my predictions.
Ryan Tannehill will have more than 100 yards throwing the football.
Yes.
More than 200 yards throwing the football.
No. Unless they're down, then obviously he has to. Yeah.
So it sounds like you're saying they're not down then. See, I'm trying to work my way into your prediction.
He can have 160 yards, 170 yards. Okay. You know,
I think he's right around 200. I think he's right around that number. I want him to be like 15 for 21 for like 203. Here, okay.
That's possible.
I will make a prediction. Mm-hmm. 15 for 21, 203, two touchdowns for Ryan Tannehill.
Well, that should win if that's the case.
I think that's what he does.
If Derrick Henry's going to rush, if Derrick Henry rushed for 150 yards, 160 yards, yeah, they're going to win. That happens.
Will A.J. Brown catch more than a pass?
The answer is yes. Well, I mean, he hasn't the last two games, but I say yes, he catches more than one.
One pass.
Yeah, he gets one pass. No, he catches more than one.
Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. under 300 yards, over 300 yards, over 350. Where's the mark for Patrick Mahomes?
I think Patrick is over 300 yards.
I would agree with that.
I think now, does that equal a win or not? I don't know, but he's over 300 yards.
Do the Tennessee Titans attempt a field goal? Yes or no?
Yes, I think they do. Yeah.
Does it cost them?
I don't know. You're not giving me a prediction. I don't know.
I'm trying. You told me I wasn't allowed to make predictions.
I don't know.
Is Brett Kern the best player on the field?
Of course he is. I mean, that's hands down he's the best player on the field.
What field? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what field he's on.
Will Mike Vrabel face a decision in the fourth quarter that we all immediately go to Twitter and scream about? One way or the other. I don't know whether it makes the right decision or the wrong decision. Is there one of those moments where we all go, oh God, this is it right here. This is the Vrabel decision where we're not sure what he's going to do.
I think there will be a decision made in the game that will not necessarily win or lose in the game, but it's a decision that will show who he is as a coach.
Will it be one of those decisions
over there, dude?
Yeah. Will it be one of those decisions that we talk about at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday?
Yeah, I think there will be. I think there will be one.
I think there'll be a decision in some point of the game that we will be talking about,
and we could be talking about it for the right reasons.
Yeah, right.
It may not be a negative thing; it could be a positive thing.
It doesn't have to be.
Again, Derek, the brilliant dancer that he is, mm-hmm. Said it will show who he is as a coach, which means he's going to be aggressive. So it means so far, I'm hearing that Mahomes is going to sling it a little bit. Derrick Henry's going to run the ball pretty well. Ryan Tannehill will be under 200 yards passing. That they're going to have to attempt a field goal. And that Vrabel will have to make a bold, aggressive call at some point during the game. So far, we're there.
Bold, aggressive. I just say
that's who he is. That's who he is, though.
Show you who he is. Yeah,
settle down over there, birthday boy. All right.
But I still ain't giving you. Still not telling you which way I'm leaning.
Hang on. Who is sacked more, Patrick Mahomes or Ryan Tannehill?
Man, who's sacked more? Well, the guy that hits the dirt with the ball in his hands.
Which, answer the question, who is sacked more times?
I think both guys, and this is honest, I think both guys get sacked three times.
I think that's probably right. I think that's probably right.
Will we see Tamarhan? Will he make his triumphant return?
Yes, Tamarhan will. No.
Just think about where we are. And think about the jokes we were having. Like, think about where we are as a show when Tannehill took over and we're all going, what? Okay, we'll see about this. We'll see if this works. We're all ready to move on from Marcus, but let's see if this works. And you play two games, you win in crazy fashion against San Diego, against the Chargers and the Bucks. Then you lose to Carolina in pretty ugly fashion. You sacked a bunch. They didn't throw the ball well in that game. It turns the ball over, and then all of a sudden it just clicks into place, and you start rattling off wins. And look where we are now. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, Ryan Tannehill or Tamarhan, whichever one you want to call him, I said he may not. I don't know if he's the better quarterback than Marcus. I still don't really know, honestly.
You've always said they're like the same guy.
Yeah, I just think they're the same guy. But I think he's the best quarterback for this particular team at this particular time. Well, I've always said that.
There's no argument with that.
Yeah, I've always said that. And now whether he's better than Marcus, if you put them on another team, equal talent and everything else, and they had a fresh start, both of them, I don't know. But he's the best player for this team at this particular time.
And I was sick last Friday, so I didn't get a chance to say this, but it's what I probably would have said last Friday, mm-hmm. against Baltimore on the road, and it's what I'll say again now. the conversation we had for over a year about Marcus Mariota was, can he win this team a Super Bowl? And the only question that we that I've ever cared about is winning. And I always thought, yeah, sure, probably they could win a game, they could win a Super Bowl with Marcus Mariota. Maybe that's clearly not the case. But do we know definitively that Ryan Tannehill can? And so far, he has answered those questions without having to do a lot. He's made big plays in both the Patriots game on third down and against the Ravens in the first quarter. He made big plays when he was supposed to. He made big plays against the Chiefs the first time they played. He has the talent, and the offenses cater to him perfectly. But the conversation around the quarterback position in this city for 15 years has been, have we found a guy that can lead them to the Super Bowl? To me, he has to answer that question on Sunday.
Well, we'll find out Sunday.
We know what Derrick Henry's going to do. We know what the defense is going to do. We know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. We know what everybody else is going to do. The kicking game is a wild card. I get that. Mm-hmm. But to me, it comes down to Ryan Tannehill. Do you make enough plays, maybe with your feet even, mm-hmm. but do you make enough plays to take your team to the Super Bowl? Because eventually this is a quarterback-driven league, and eventually you got to make a few plays.
Well, I said this team, because I remember we had this conversation at the beginning of the season. I said, listen, man, there's not much to separate Ryan and Marcus. I said, they're a 9-17 with Ryan. I mean, with Marcus, yeah. They're a 9-17 with Ryan. It doesn't matter
Nailed
to me.
It.
And here's the thing that I say about both of these quarterbacks. Are they capable of taking over a game and leading you to the Super Bowl? No, neither one of them were. But, and here's a caveat, but if you surround them with enough good players, then yes, they can be the quarterback that gets you into the Super Bowl. Well, it's happening. They've surrounded Ryan Tannehill with a game plan and players where now he's the guy that can potentially
yep.
be the quarterback that it's quarterback in the Super Bowl. And we know it's because he helped in the process, but we know it's because of that offensive line and that running game that they are where they are. And I think, you know, you could have said that, you know, about Marcus. If they got on a roll, well, it's because of that run game and the offensive line.
We are not making predictions. I think the Titans are going to play very well. They're going to play confident. They're going to play physically. They're not going to change what they do. Is it enough to win the game? I have no clue.
Here's my prediction. I predict that the Titans play really well, play really good, and ultimately, the Kansas City Chiefs play really good. And I don't know who's going to win. I really don't, man.
I think both teams play well. I'm with you, man.
And,
I think it's a great game.
You know, it's a good game.
I think it's a great game. Styles make fights. I think that helps the Titans to some degree. But again, we're not making predictions.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
We're not making predictions on the show. Big finish when we come back. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Chase McCabe update. He is still in Atlanta. So safe travels, Constable. We hope you get to Kansas City safely, man. It's cold and icy in Kansas City right now, so everybody traveling up to Kansas City, be careful. Time for the rewind, my man. Good Friday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. Preds lose last night to the Anaheim Ducks in largely uninspiring fashion for most of the evening. Derek was there to try to inspire greatness. He tried to give him a pep fist bump in the evening, and it didn't work, Derek.
I blame it on UC. He didn't fist bump me when it first came out. I blame it on UC. I mean, everybody else fist bumped me. Everybody except UC.
Derek Mason joining us here on Morning Drive. How did that make you feel, Derek, when UC Saros did not fist bump you coming out of the tunnel?
I felt a little rejected, man.
Mm.
Felt like nobody loved me. And then I think what
it's a new
happened,
feeling for you.
I think what happened when they saw my face, the next guy was like, "Get your head up, young man," and gave me a fist pump. And walked out.
Was it Pecorino? He's like, young man.
Pecor was last.
He's like, hey, kid, catch. He took his talent.
Yeah. It's like Mean Joe Green.
Big Henderson used to do. for Jacksonville, where the trainer just used to haul off and slap him. I mean, he would tell the trainer, just slap me. Pull up video. That trainer would, yeah. he would bring that arm back from Africa somewhere and just come straight up and wow, connect. And he would scream.
Terrence Arthur Crisp joining us here.
And to me, when they also said execution, I think Roman Yossi or Roman said it, and I said this before, I used the word finish. We keep saying, well, we had scoring chance. Well, we did. You know what? In the first year, we had three or four. Didn't finish them. But then I look at who the guys were not finishing. I look at the teams that are the cannons, and I keep going back to that word cannons. Your cannons are your top players. Your guys are getting the ice time. Your guys you're counting on in the power play, they have to produce. And when I look at it, I see the Anaheim Ducks in two games. They're done, led by Captain Getzlaf, who I love, but he's been around forever, doing it. There's where we have to start looking to turn this thing around.
Is this new wave stuff, man?
Man, that's not Roddy Rich, man.
Roddy
Rich, man, come on, man.
Ryder Rich or Roddy?
Roddy Rich.
Man, are y'all done?
That is the most popular song in the country right now,
sure
D-Mace.
I'm pretty sure Daquan knows it. I'm pretty sure he knows I don't know.
Are you two done talking?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I would like to speak with our guest.
Pretty sure he knows it.
Daquan Jones of the Tennessee
Young
Titans
kids.
In the AFC Championship game joining us. Daquan, did you know that song, my friend?
I do know it.
I told you.
I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but I know for myself. After the game, day of the game, to kind of reel it in and soak up the moment. But at the end of the day, we really want to win this game. We really know we have to go out there and face and achieve. So, I enjoyed it for like 24 hours, and then now I'm back in it. Like, okay, I get my P's and Q's. Know what else to go out there and do, and just be ready for this week.
Ron Davenport joining us here on the show.
I go Titans 28, Chiefs 24. I mean, look, it is what it is. I think styles match fight. Now, I think this is a fight that favors the Titans to go in and punch them in the mouth and just continue that onslaught. The Texans, they did that, but they didn't continue. And they had some silly play calls, right? I don't think you're going to get that from the Titans. And I think they win because they're built to go on the road and do what they have to do. And they've proven it 2 weeks in a row.
Adam Teicher from ESPN covering the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I'll say this, at least for his time with the Chiefs. I obviously wasn't there day-to-day for his time with the Eagles, but I'll say this. This is the most complete team he's had since he's been with the Chiefs. And then last year's team was maybe even better offensively, but we know their weaknesses on defense. But this year's team is more of a complete team. Whether that means he's going to the Super Bowl for the second time in his career, I can't tell you that right now, but I think it gives him a pretty good chance.
Hey, the guys that are making, all the chicken, they got to be the guys that get the mental straight and the guys that go out there and play. Anytime
is going to go down in history.
Anytime I can use that, I will use it.
I love you for it.
Happy birthday, Goody. We love you. Go Cats.
Happy birthday, Derek Mason. She did get a big blue nation in there,
absolutely.
Didn't she?
Absolutely. You knew she had to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, Teron Davenport's picking the Titans to go on the road and get a W against the Kansas City Chiefs. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up. Of course, Chase is en route to Kansas City. The field is covered currently right now. It is freezing rain and cold as heck, but that is expected to subside and, of course, be a clear but cool day, very cold day on Sunday. And it should affect potentially the way the Kansas City Chiefs can tackle Derrick Henry. You know, if you hit Patrick Mahomes a bunch or if Ryan Tannehill gets hit a bunch, that could potentially impact the way they play the cold. So I don't think the arm strength is a problem for either quarterback. But, man, what a huge game on Sunday. Derek, you're on postgame, of course, on Sunday afternoon after the game at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. I'll be on pregame there from noon until 2.
So we can't do predictions, obviously, on Titans and Chiefs, but do we have – I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to ask you, D-Maze. Do you have a prediction on Niners and Packers?
I got Packers winning. I've already said it.
Yeah, I've got the Niners big.
Yeah, I got Packers winning.
Niners big.
No, you don't, do you?
Niners big. There's no reason why they would turn a 38-9 win into a loss into a win.
Quickly outside of our market, but still NFL related, Drew Rosenhaus has conditionally severed ties with Antonio Brown.
Wouldn't you?
Why did it take that long?
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, man.
Preds lose last night 4-2. They're back on the ice again tomorrow night. Buffalo at home before the All-Star break. A huge game. The Winter Classic jerseys are coming out. So critical 2 points after just an absolutely
good luck this weekend.
Terrible Preds. Showing from the Preds last night against an awful hockey team. Not good. Not great, Dan. Not great. For Derek Mason, my name is Braden Gall. Enjoy the next 48 hours of tension and excitement and nervous energy because you don't get to experience it very often in this world of NFL football. Enjoy it and then settle in for the AFC Championship game. For Marquise Munson, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, enjoy, be safe, and stay warm. I love y'all.